I don't know if you're back tonight because of the preaching or you're back tonight because of the food I saw over here, but it's going to help you get out of here in good time, because I want to get out of here in good time and enjoy some of those things. You probably heard the greatest lies. Have you heard the greatest lies? I gave at the office when somebody's trying to get money out of you, or, you know, the check's in the mail. Of course, do you pay anything by check anymore? But, you know, the check's in the mail, so it kind of, and then you hurry and write it and get it off or whatever. Or this one, you know, I'm from the federal government. I've come to help you. You know, that's one that's out there. Of course, this one is one that you may have heard before. I'm an independent Baptist preacher, and I have a few words to say. I don't know how your pastor does, but I'm going to try to do very well in making sure this week that I get you out on time, because if I don't, I know you probably won't come back the next night. And so I'm going to do my best to make sure that you have no excuse for not coming back each night. Now, what's our theme verse? And what's it say? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And where is it found? Joshua 1 and verse 8. And, you know, the Bible speaks to every issue. And I know right away you say, that's not true. It doesn't say anything about the internet. It doesn't say anything about self-driving cars. It doesn't say anything about Artemis II or whatever. You know, we could go on and on and on in different things in our society. Now, it may not speak specifically to everything in our society that comes down the pike, but it does speak in principle to everything that comes down the pike. Do you understand what a principle is? I'm not talking about the school principle. I'm talking about the biblical principle. A biblical principle is a general truth of the Bible from which we then make specific application. It's a general truth of the Bible that we then make specific applications for the culture in which we live. And do you know, principles can be applied different ways in different cultures. Anybody that's gone to the mission field understands that. And it can also be applied in different times, different ways. What once was a worldly problem may not be one today. And so things can change, and they do change. And anybody that's lived very long knows that those things change. And things changed in not just our society, but things change in our life. Things at one time didn't bother me now bother me. And there are some other things that used to bother me that don't bother me any. And so we go to the Bible to find principles so that we can then make application. As a matter of fact, I teach the CIA approach to studying the Bible. How many of you have ever heard of the CIA? The CIA investigates, right? It's an investigative agency. So I like to use that acrostic to help me remember how I investigate the Bible. C is content. First thing you do is you have to read the Bible, find out what it says. And then I is interpretation. You have to then say, okay, what is the right interpretation of this? As I read it, what is the right interpretation? Now, how many right interpretations are there? One, thank you, because the word is not a private interpretation. Like I shared this morning about the churches that we went to and the one church believing they could lose their salvation. And I believe you can't lose your salvation. Now, somebody's right and somebody's wrong. And guess who's right? Aren't you glad that it's forever settled? It's eternal. It's everlasting. But, you know, good people sometimes disagree on some of the interpretations. And especially good people can disagree on then the applications. The interpretation stage is where we get a principle. Like, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. And so even though I'm going to have a lot of food this week, I have to be careful how much I eat. because I don't want to be a glutton. Of course, when you go to one of those smorgasbord places, you battle two principles. You know what they are? Gluttony, yeah, on one side, but stewardship on the other side. I pay one price, so I want to get all I can bargain for, because that's good stewardship. Pack it in, you know, but you know what I'm saying. Of course, there are things that are not good for our body. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that it's wrong to smoke, but when you understand smoking is hazardous to your health, then you know, you say, okay, that's hazardous to my health, and my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I want it. But there's other things that can be hazards to your health too, and so we have to take all these things and we apply them. And everyone has to decide for themselves what is right for them is and what is wrong for them. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good, to him it is sin. And there's the priesthood of the believer. Every one of us must discern for ourselves and decide what we will do and what we won't do. And some of you dads understand that you have to decide for me and my house as the leaders of your home. Sometimes my sons will say, well, Dad, so-and-so doesn't do that, or so-and-so can do that, or so-and-so and all this. And I say, well, son, the problem is their name's not Herbster. And the last time I checked, your name is still Herbster, and you're in my household. And as long as your household, I'll discuss these things with you and try to give you some understanding. I want you to understand why Dad has this weird idea about this or that. But when it's all said and done, I decide as long as you're in my household. But I want them to learn these reasons why I have these applications, so when they establish their own households, like they've done now, that they will answer to the Lord as well, and they'll make decisions for their households as well as for themselves. So we have to get to the content, which is what's it say, interpretation, what does it mean, but then to the application. How then should I live? And good people can have different applications and get along with each other. Well, at least they should. Do you remember the straight A church? Were you here this morning, heard about the straight A church? Then Fox Valley Baptist Church was a straight A church. I just gave you two of them because there's another one. A number one was what? Thank you. Accept people where they are. When they come in, whoever they are, where they're from, doesn't matter. If you see them, somebody's new, you ought to love them. And no matter what their background, you accept them, you love them. A number two was what? Good. I've heard two. Now, you're doing good. That was just this morning, and you're doing well, and remembering. We'll see how if you remember it by Tuesday night. But there's accept people where they are, allow the Holy Spirit the opportunity to work in some of these areas of decision-making, in some of these areas of discernment. We have to let God, the Holy Spirit, give convictions. I didn't want my children to have my convictions. I want them to have God's convictions. And number three, here we go, and this is the one that can be the most difficult. Agree to disagree agreeably. Agree to disagree agreeably. And I'm asking you tonight to practice it. Because I'm going to look at the scriptures with you tonight. We're going to see some content. We're going to look at some interpretation. And I'm going to give you even some possible applications. Not every application that could come, but some possible applications. And I hope we can agree to disagree agreeably. You may think, well, he's too strict in that one, or he's too liberal in that one. I don't know. But I want us to think through how we can be properly discerning God's will for our life in decision-making. What do we do? What should we do? What shouldn't we do? Now, tomorrow night, I'll talk about finding God's will for your life and how to go through that process of knowing God's perfect will for your life. But tonight, we want to talk some specifics, and I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start here. And then we're going to go to Romans chapter 14. But first, starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Aren't you looking forward to heaven? We can't comprehend it, what he's saying. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now let me ask you a question. When does a person receive the Holy Spirit of God? When does the Holy Spirit come to indwell believers? Talk to me. When is it? At the time of salvation. Exactly right. So we get the Holy Spirit that's the true teacher, John chapter 16, guides you into all truth, will teach you all things. And so he says it's the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in man's wisdom, in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, evaluating things. Now the natural man, verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. How many of you work in the secular work world? May I see your hands? How many of you have neighbors that are non-believers? May I see your hands? Probably some of you even have family members that are non-believers. You don't have to raise your hand on that, but I'm just telling. And you say, they don't understand me. Why on a nice day like today would you go back to church? You know, just why? I mean, it's a beautiful day out there. You said, don't scold us for coming. I'm not scolding you. I'm commending you, but I'm telling you, unsaved people don't understand us because they don't have the Spirit. The natural man, the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The only thing we can talk to unsaved family members, unsaved neighbors, unsaved work associates is that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because until they get the Holy Spirit living within them, they can't make those spiritual discernments. But notice verse 15. And this is the verse I want you to look at tonight. And notice it says, but he that is spiritual... He that is spiritual, the spiritual Christian, what does he do? He judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. If you will judge everything, if you will discern everything, if you will evaluate all things, then nobody else has to judge you because you're judging yourself. 1 Thessalonians says it this way in chapter 5, verse 21 and verse 22. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. I had a preacher friend who preached a message out of that passage of Scripture. Evaluate everything. Here's his 3 points. Now, I'm not preaching it, but I'm going to give you the 3 points because they were so good. Evaluate everything, embrace those things that are good, and eliminate those things that are evil. And that's our responsibility as Christians. If we're going to be successful, we need to learn how to discern properly, because those that are spiritual are not necessarily those people that do certain things and don't do certain things. You know, do the do's and don't do the don'ts and you'll be spiritual. No, you may be legalistic. Somebody that is spiritual will be willing to do anything or not do anything if God, the Holy Spirit, and His Word tell them not to. And so spirituality is not determined by what you do or you don't do. Spirituality is determined by what you're willing to do or not to do. And we that are spiritual should be willing to judge all things and evaluate them. Now, how do we judge? Well, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And I've taken Romans chapter 14, and just given four principles to my family, to our church, to people I come in contact with. And there's a lot more than four principles, but I'm just going to share with you four tonight and show you how these four principles can help you to discern what's right and wrong in God's sight. And to help you to start to understand how we need to learn biblical principles and apply them day in and day out. So now go back to Romans chapter 14. Sometimes called the Christian liberty chapter. Have you ever heard that? Romans 14 is the Christian liberty chapter. And it's true that we have the liberty to make decisions for ourselves, priesthood of the believer. But some people have used this chapter to have, you know, Christian license. In other words, I can do whatever I want to do. It doesn't matter what I do. No, that's not Christian liberty. Christian liberty is you get to decide what God wants you to do and He doesn't want you to do. That's not for me to tell you as a preacher. That's for God the Holy Spirit to tell you and His Word to tell you. But everybody that is spiritual will do what? 1 Corinthians 2:15. What will everyone that's spiritual do? Now you can talk to me. It's all right. I heard it. Say, judge all things. So I hope tonight you're here willing to judge all things. So let's start reading in Romans chapter 14, in verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Some people think they can eat red meat, and some people think they shouldn't eat red meat because it's bad for their body. Just give the red meat to me then, and I'll cook it well done so that everything is fine. And it's okay. But you know what I'm saying. Different people with different dietary things. We're not under the dietary law. The Bible's very plain about that. But then he says, who art thou to judge another? Verse 4. Another man's servant, to his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. In other words, he answers to God, not to you. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, and he that giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Some people celebrate different holidays different ways, or they don't celebrate them or whatever else, and that's okay. You don't answer to me, you answer to God. And you have to make those decisions. Because he says in verse 7, for none of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and received, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. It's Jesus Christ paid the price for all of us as sinners. And saved us and put the Holy Spirit within us, and now we live for Him. You don't live for the praise of others. You don't live for the glory of others. We should live for the glory of God. Right? 1 Corinthians 10:31. If you know it, say it with me. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Sounds like a pretty good principle to me. You know, that we should say, does this bring glory to God? Does this not bring glory to God? Does this please God? Does it not please God? But he says in verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to answer for ourselves, not for everybody else. For as is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to, preacher. No, to God. And so we answer to God, and every one of us that are spiritual should be concerned about what God wants. and we should judge, we should evaluate, we should discern all things so that we can be successful in His sight. So now, I'm going to give you four principles that are here in the passage of Scripture and some possible applications that I think if you take these four principles and you put through this sieve things that you deal with, it'll give you real biblical wisdom on how to make right choices. And to make it easy for you to remember, I'm using the acrostic STOP. How many of you know how to spell STOP? Okay, how do we spell it? And how many of you have ever seen a STOP sign? And when you see a STOP sign, what are you supposed to do? Thank you. You're supposed to stop. And then look both ways. I'm always looking to see if there's another stop sign on the other road, because then that makes it pretty comfortable for me, even though a lot of people run stop signs too. Stop, look both ways, and proceed with caution, right? We've all learned it. Well, guess what? Biblically speaking, we should stop and evaluate. Look both ways. Old Testament, New Testament. Is it pleasing to the Lord? Is it not pleasing to the Lord? And then move ahead when we have that peace. We have that comfort that what we're doing is pleasing to the Lord. So what are the four principles? Here's number one. See if you can guess it. Verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. It's the first one fairly easy for you to figure out, maybe not to apply, but to figure out what is the principle. Stumbling block. Don't be a stumbling block. Don't do something that would cause somebody else to stumble, or we would say sin. It caused somebody else to do wrong. Don't you do anything that might cause somebody else to do wrong. Evaluate things and don't be a stumbling block to your brother or sister in Christ. Let me see if I can apply this for you. Now, my first application, I want you to know, is only because of the day in which we're living. I believe the Bible teaches total abstinence. In other words, you should never drink an alcoholic beverage, because wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a raging. And those that are deceived thereby are not wise. And we're told not to look on the wine when it moves in the cup, when it's fermented, when it has alcohol in it. We're not to do that. So I believe, that the Bible is very clear on alcohol, that we shouldn't touch a drop of alcohol. But just in case somebody might be here that thinks it's all right as long as you don't get drunk. And that's being taught in fundamental churches today. It's okay for you to socially drink as long as you don't get drunk. We know that getting drunk is wrong, but if you can hold your booze, you know, then it's okay if you're in moderation. It's sad what's being taught and even written in some Christian books. Now, do you remember what I believe? Yeah, I believe that that's phooey. That's a Greek word I learned in college, you know. But even if that was true, which it's not, this principle would keep you from ever drinking a drop of alcohol. Think it through. If you look at the studies tell you that 1 out of 10 people who take the first drink of alcohol become alcoholics. So let's say, it's not true, but say I'm a social drinker because I can hold my alcohol. And so I'm drinking with my meal and somebody else is at the restaurant and they see me drinking with my meal and all of a sudden they say, well, I guess maybe I can drink at my meal if Dr. Herbster drinks at his meal. And so they go and they start drinking and they become an alcoholic. And everybody knows that alcoholism or drunkenness is wrong. Who caused them to stumble? Boy, I did. And what's even worse than that sometimes, I know people that serve it in their homes at meals and have caused people to get caught up in alcohol and become drunks and the problem that's there. Stumbling block principle would keep you from doing that. I'm so thankful I'm at a church where your ladies all dress well. And I don't have a bit of problem with Thought Life or anything here preaching to you. That's not always the case when you go to churches. You know that, ladies? Sometimes women don't dress real well. And it's definitely not the case out in the world, right? But if you understand that men are motivated by sight, women by touch, and that's why we tell men, keep your hands to yourself and don't touch other women. Well, that's why we tell our ladies to dress properly. So that you don't become a stumbling block, because if somebody looks on a woman to lust after her, what is that? Adultery. It's sin, and you cause somebody else to stumble. And so I told our ladies in Kansas City, I said, there's so many different garments out there. I said, I don't get into all the garments. I'm just going to give you four L's to think about. So here they are. Lots, loose, ladylike, you know, so they're, and long. Lots, loose, long, and ladylike. I don't care if it's a gunny sack. It doesn't really matter to me because I don't understand all these styles and all these garments. But I want my wife to be in something that's lots, loose, long, and ladylike. Because you can all be covered up in your nice dress, but if it's saran wrap, you know what I'm talking about, saran? It's a problem. And any man here will tell you that if he'll be honest with you. That's the stumbling block principle. You don't want to cause somebody else to stumble. Now this one, I know a lot of people don't understand, but I practiced it in our church. I wouldn't use a number, a choir number or a special number that was done by somebody in a wrong way, even if our musician did it in the right way, or I wouldn't do it if somebody, you know, had all kinds of rock music. You know, by the way, Christian rock music isn't Christian music. Do I have to teach on that? Do I have to, you know, well, but you know, some of these, what's going on in churches today and what's going on in worship teams today and everything else is worldly. It's not pleasing to the Lord. And so if somebody happened of that genre happened to have one good song or two good songs, I wouldn't use it because you know what happens today? As soon as they hear a song, they Google it. And they may hear it done wrong, and they get into some kind of bad mood, but they also may want to hear some of their other songs that are just filthy, terrible. Well, you say, well, that's just the words. The words are good. Well, but what about the music? We're supposed to teach and admonishing one another psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Even the music can create problems. I don't know if you remember, but the last time I was here, I told you about my sons and this little light of mine. Do you remember this light of mine? We got the album. Remember what an album is? Do you know what an album is? The big thing. And we got it for our three little boys when we were talking about, you know, raising children, growing children, and Ephesians 6:4. And I had they sat there nice and calm on the first verse. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it. And the second verse goes, this little light of mine. Are any of you starting to remember a little bit? And then the last verse goes, boom, 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 this little light of mine. My son started jumping all over the room. And I didn't know what was wrong with the music. Nobody had taught me, but I knew there was something wrong with that music that caused them to lose control. And so later on, I learned the principles of music. But I won't use I wouldn't use a song in our church that maybe somebody would hear and they would go out and hear it wrong, or they would go and get into that kind of music. It was the stumbling block principle. I didn't want to cause somebody to stumble and me put them into rock music, even if it was Christian rock music. Because rock music is worldly, appeals to the flesh. It's the music of rebellion. The rock stars tell you that. So these are just some applications that get you thinking, get you to, remember, agree to disagree, agree with some of you are looking at me like, what's he talking about? But I'm just telling you, these are some examples of the stumbling block principle. And you can take it and apply it however for you and your house, like I had to do for me and my house, or like I had to do for me and our church. Because whether you realize it or not, I was daddy for the church. And I had to teach our church why or why not and some of the things we would allow in our church. That was part of my responsibility as the pastor. Now go over to verse 16. Look at the second principle. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Now this principle starts with the letter T. Starts with the letter T. Do you have any idea what the principle is that starts with the letter T? I'm making you think a little bit here. This one doesn't have T in the verse. Anybody think you got it? Testimony. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. Make sure that you're concerned about your testimony. The Bible says a good name is to be chosen rather than riches. So you want to have a good testimony. By the way, that's another reason I don't smoke or drink. Because when I was in the business world, everybody in the business world didn't think Christians smoke or drink. Now, could a Christian smoke or drink? Yes. That's not what saves you, right? You all agree with me? It's Jesus Christ that saves you. And all of us have things that we're still working on and dealing with. And so that's, but if testimony-wise, the people in the world don't think Christians smoke or drink or chew or go with the girls that do, all that other stuff that they say. But I'm just saying, we should be concerned about our testimony. We need to have a good testimony in the community. So how does this help or hurt my testimony? I remember as a school administrator, students complaining about dress codes, right? I don't know if you as a parent had a dress code, but we did. I had times I had to tell my sons, you're not going that way. That's not appropriate for that occasion. And I had to try to help them to learn what's appropriate for a different occasion. But I remember students complaining about dress codes, and I said, well, can I tell you a little story? I worked for Procter & Gamble Corporation out of college. And do you know Procter & Gamble Corporation had a dress code? I don't know what your company might have expected out of you, but Chick-fil-A even has uniforms. Oh, can you imagine uniforms? Man, complaints about uniforms in Christian schools. And my boss taught me that I had to wear a dark blue suit with a white shirt, and please forgive me, I'm not in a maroon tie, but that was P&G standards, you know, it was red or maroon or something. Yellow was too flashy. So but he also told me one day when I went on a ride with him, you know, going to see our customers, he said, Carl, brown shoes do not go with a dark blue suit. And do you see all these compromisers today that wear blue suits and brown shoes? My sons have even compromised. You know, now you laugh, but it was true. And I still wear black shoes with everything because I know they'll go with everything instead of trying to figure out which ones browns go for or whatever else. But I'm just saying, isn't it amazing that companies want you to do that for them and we won't do that for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a good testimony. Make sure our dress is appropriate. Make sure we're conducting ourselves in the right way. You know, it's testimony. And some people say, well, Herbster, don't you know this? God looks at the heart, right? When Samuel was looking for a king. But don't forget the first part of the verse. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Praise the Lord, God knows our heart. But who are we trying to reach? We're trying to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be appropriate for the situation and be a good testimony. You know, that companies do it because of their image, okay? They don't call it testimony, but they do it because of their image. And because they want people to have a good view of them when they're calling on them or where they're waiting on them or whatever else. When we're trying to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to have a good testimony. We need to be the guy that doesn't lose his temper. Oh yeah, I know the Bible speaks specifically about that. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. But here's what we ought to think. How does this help my testimony? How does this hurt my testimony? What I'm going to do, what I'm going to say, where I'm going to go, all those things. T is for testimony. But look down a little further in verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another, where we might live for others by edifying another, edifying other people. So O is others. How does it affect others? What would other people say? When I went to Tri-City as the pastor in Kansas City, this may seem silly to you, but I was the second pastor. I followed the founding pastor. And so I got all the men together in a session, and I gave them a list of things that some people think Christians shouldn't do. You know, things like playing with a deck of cards, a real deck of cards, instead of Uno cards or Rook cards or whatever else. Things like mowing your yard on Sunday, you know, that kind. Going to a restaurant where they serve alcohol, even if you're not going to drink alcohol, but being in that, you know. And I went and I had everybody in that group mark their sheet whether they thought it was okay or not okay. You say, what are you trying to do, live everybody else's convictions? Well, as the leader and the pastor, as much as possible, because I didn't want to be an offense. Do you know what the Bible says? If meat causeth my brother to offend, what? What's the conclusion? I will eat no meat. You know, because I don't want to be an offense. I don't want to create a problem. Follow after the things which make for peace. Peace. I told you about my brother. He and I went to seminary together. We actually came to a disagreement on ecumenical evangelism, a whole other subject and everything that the Bible speaks to about coming out from among them and being separate, saith the Lord, and some of the things. And so we kind of, but we also, he when I became a Baptist, he said, you cut your hair because you're a Baptist. Because I was a businessman, had the businessman cut, you know. And now I'm just glad I have any hair right now. But I mean, it's I had the businessman cut over. And so in the church where I was working, they had a Christian school. And the standard of the school was off the collar, off the ears. And so I wanted to be a good testimony. And so I said, I'll cut it. And he, you're now a Baptist. You got a Baptist haircut and all that sort of stuff. And so I said, Roy, just think of it this way. I can go preach in any church in the country with my hair off my collar and off my ears, and nobody will be offended. But I can speak to you, Roy, and tell you there's some churches that wouldn't have you. Now, right or wrong, I know the Bible says short hair. How do we determine what's short and how do we determine what's long? You know, good people can disagree. How? Agreeably. I hope so. You know, but I said, you're going to be limiting your ministry because of that. And I've coined a little phrase. I limit my liberty so that I can expand my ministry. Be willing to limit your liberty so you can expand your ministry. Try not to be offensive to people unnecessarily. And it's interesting because some of those things on that list, if I were to give people that list today, they would say, no way, it's no big deal. But at that point, it was a big deal to me because I didn't want to be offensive as their new pastor. You have enough things to handle beforehand without creating a problem. Because what do others think about that? How would others respond to that? And so S is what? What's the principle? T is what? O is what? One more. In verse 22, it says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. In other words, be consistent. And he that doubteth is what? Damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, to get the P, we're going to go back to verse 5. Verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully, there's the word, persuaded in his own mind. And boy, this will take care of a lot of things when you say, okay, am I fully persuaded that this is pleasing to the Lord? Am I fully persuading that this won't be a problem to somebody else? Am I fully persuaded that this is not worldly, but it's godly? Because whatsoever is not of faith, in other words, if you can't do something, faith believing that it's okay before God, and you evaluate it, what is it? According to the Bible, it's sin. So here's my little saying. If you doubt, don't. If you doubt, don't. Boy, does that take care of a lot of things. Well, I'm not sure if that television program would be okay or not, so I'll watch it to find out. No, if you doubt, don't. I'm not sure, you know, if that music is pleasing to the Lord. Well, there's plenty of music you can be sure about. And so if you doubt, what? Don't. Well, I don't know if this is too tight. You know, check, ask your husband. He'd probably help you. But if you doubt, don't. Well, is this going to hurt my testimony? Maybe. Well, if you doubt, do you get it? Why do we have to have all this freedom to do whatever we want? Why don't we limit our liberty a little bit here and say, I want to please the Lord. I want to be above reproach. I don't want to cause a problem for somebody else. I'm going to take this principle and I'm going to apply it. So there's a lot of things that I doesn't really matter, but I doubt, so I don't. And that principle has not only helped me, it's helped my sons, it's helped our church, it's helped a lot of people. Because there's plenty of things out there, plenty of situations out there I don't have any doubts about. And so I can do. But if I doubt, I... Now, everybody has to be persuaded in his own mind, so you have to decide for yourself how you're going to handle these principles. I don't decide for you. All I say is, you know, if you want to be spiritual, you have to judge all things. You have to evaluate all things. You have to be somebody that proves all things to be pleasing to the Lord. And these four principles are just four of a whole host of principles in the Bible. But these four will change your life, change your family, change your direction if you will really think about them and purpose to use them. Now, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to end where we began. Because verse 14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And I don't know, I kind of assume that everybody here tonight probably knows Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you wouldn't have been back on a Sunday night. But you might be here and saying, that's a bunch of foolishness. That's a bunch of crazy. Where did this guy get this stuff? And maybe you're a natural man. I'm not telling you that you have to accept everything. I'm telling you to evaluate everything. And those that are spiritual will do that. And if you're not willing to do that, then you might want to say, do I really know Christ as my Savior? Is the Holy Spirit within me going to help me to be able to discern these things? And so if you happen to be here without Christ as your Savior, then my challenge to you is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And then the Holy Spirit will come in, and then you can judge all things. Father, I thank you for the privilege of looking in your word tonight and understanding better these principles that are given to us. You've given us a whole book of principles. And I pray, Father, that each one of us will purpose in our heart to do what you want us to do. We'll not just be hearers of the word of God, but we'll be doers of your word. as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I just want you to consider what has been said tonight, what the Word of God has said to you, what the Holy Spirit has said to you, and maybe there's some applications you need to put to practice. I don't know what they are, and I don't need you to come and tell me what they are. I just want you to be willing to judge all things, because those that are spiritual will evaluate everything, and hopefully God will give you the wisdom to make the spiritual discernments for your own life and for your family. He will if you'll let Him. And so now in the quietness of this moment, will you say, "Yes, Lord, You show me what You want me to do, and I'll do it. You show me what You don't want me to do, and I won't do it. Because I want to be a spiritual Christian." Thank You, Father, for the clarity of Your Word. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit that You give us so that we can take the Word of God and apply it properly. Help us, each one of us, to do it. And might You be pleased with the decisions Your Holy Spirit causes us to make. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 418 in your hymnal, we're going to close with this hymn. I'm not asking you tonight to come forward and make some decision about one of these specific applications I talked to you about. That's between you and the Lord. All I'm asking you to do is trust and obey. Trust that God will show you what He wants you to do, and then obey. And that's what the songwriter has said. Trust and obey. But if you are here, if there happened to be somebody that came that you don't know that your sins are forgiven, you don't know you're on your way to heaven, then I would like you to come and let the pastor know that so you could come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You'll never be able to have spiritual discernment until, first of all, the Holy Spirit resides within you and Christ is your Savior. So let's all stand together and sing number 418. Trust and obey. What a great hymn. We're not going to sing any more verses because I know there's food waiting. And I'm going to get you out right on time. But I hope that you will consider what God wants you to do. Trust Him to lead you, to guide you, to help you have that discernment as you judge things. And then when He gives you clear direction, obey. Pastor?
Thank you for that, Brother Herbster. Appreciate that tonight. And I trust we can go home fully loaded and ready to serve our Lord as He would have us serve. Let's close in prayer, and we'll ask blessing on the food as well, and enjoy the fellowship that we're about to partake of in just a little bit. Father, we do thank You for those that have come out tonight. Thank You for Your Word that we have heard, the truths that have been presented. And Father, help all of us to follow those principles that You have put forth in Your Word. We need You. We need Your Word. Father, we need it to live in a way that is pleasing to You. We will stand before You one day, as we have been reminded of tonight, to give an account. I pray, Father, that we would stand there in the light of Your Word, rejoicing with You, with how You have worked in our lives. Pray that You'd bless this time that we have in fellowship, bless the food. We thank You for those that have prepared it, and bless the time that we enjoy around the tables tonight. Dismiss us in Thy care, send us forth in Thy grace and strength, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.